Shazza was born to be heard. The homegrown singer-songwriter went viral earlier this year for her effortless freestyling with Crash Adams. Despite the sudden uptick in fame, the 23-year-old has been hard at it since 11, writing heartfelt ballads about topics far beyond her years. The self-described hopeless romantic has since been featured on billboards in New York Times Square, is an equal Spotify ambassador, and has chalked up millions of song streams. Today, we're talking about the challenges around the local scene, nostalgia, sliding into PM Wong's DMs, and the momentum of music. I'm Yvette King, and this is Vogue Uncut. Shazza, it is so nice to finally meet you.
You too.
I feel like I've been stalking you on Insta.
Oh, same to you. Yes, I've been doing the exact same. Yes.
So funny, isn't it, when you meet people in the real world?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's in the digital age. It's so rare these days.
I know.
But yes, thank you for having me.
Oh, of course. Welcome to Vogue Uncut.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here. Yes.
So how are you feeling ahead of your upcoming performance for the Next in Vogue Gala?
I actually forgot about it. Thanks for the reminder. I'm not kidding. No, I've been looking forward to the gala, but I keep forgetting that I'm going to be doing a song. So like, we were planning the outfit and everything, and then I'm like, wow, I'm so excited to wear this. And then the heels are like killer heels. I'm like, wait a minute, I have to perform in this. And then I'm like, okay, that's another level of pressure. But I'm really excited. I am. It's always a joy to be in the Vogue space. And I really love, I mean, it's such a long-standing establishment and it's such an honor to be a part of it in any, like, form. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yay. I can't wait to see it. It's going to be amazing.
You. I hope so.
It will. Break a leg. You. So you do have so many credits to your name, but now you can add viral sensation to your CV. What was that experience like? I could imagine it being both exciting and unsettling at the same time.
Yes, it was exactly that. Thank you for nailing it on the head. I think I didn't, it's not the kind of thing you necessarily see coming. You know, a lot of people, I think in this day and age, you're looking for a viral moment because that's like, really it shoots you to success of some form, right? Mm. But it's not something you can guarantee is going to occur. And with that video, I think I knew for a fact it would reach a bigger audience because Crash Adams themselves, you know, they pretty much have like a viral moment every week because of the way that they do their content. But I wasn't sure if people would like what I came up with for it. And it all happened so spontaneously. Like they reached out to ask if I wanted to do content. So I was like, of course, because, you know, when do you get this kind of opportunity?
I'm not
going
to say no.
Was I scared? Yeah. Yes, entirely. Because the pressure was there, like, to come up with something interesting. But I was telling myself that this is the one thing that I know I can do, like, pretty well. So I'm just going to go and do what I love and see how it goes. I was just very happy that people liked it so much. I was caught off guard by the response.
Because
really? Because I didn't know when they were going to post it. So when they did post it, I found out from my phone blowing up. Because the day that it came out, I woke up at like 1 p.m. Don't ask why. it's not out of habit for me. But then I was like, what's going on? Like, why is my phone like getting like so much action today? And then my friends were like yelling at me. And they were like, oh my God, look, Instagram. They were like, oh, you're probably still asleep. I was like, you were right.
They're like, let's give her a few
hours.
Let's
give her a couple hours. And I was like, oh, okay, it's gone out and people seem to be actually enjoying it. And I thought it would stop like after like 2 days. But it went on for like a month.
It's still going.
It's significantly died down now. But it was such an interesting thing to watch it like blow up and to see how long it went for. Because when I hit 20,000 followers, I was like, okay, it's peaked. And then it kept going and I was like, oh, now it's getting kind of unsettling, but in a good way. But I was like, well, okay, I think it's come with its fair share of joy and also I guess pressure of sorts, because I've been struggling with this concept of like feeling like I'm not living up to the hype, because everything changed so quickly, like in the sense that, you know, it shot up so fast, and then everybody's got this expectation of that video, and then people are following me and I'm like, I need to show them that they made the right decision in pressing the follow button, you know. And then I think it's like it's a bunch of self-imposed expectations as well.
For sure.
But the whole year has been quite a journey.
It's so incredible.
Learned a lot.
So it did get over 22 million views on TikTok.
Did
and still
I didn't
going.
Know that.
Yippee. Yes. Okay. And do you know what is so funny? Because one of the most liked comments was, there's no way that bro casually met Shazza.
They keep doing that. No, do you know that people comment that on every one of their videos?
I love
like
that.
For whoever it is. Like, it's in, not necessarily me. Like, yeah. People will just be like, no way bro just casually met like whoever the artist
insert
is.
Insert name.
Yes, it's become a thing. I think it, now I was like, what? People are talking like they know me. I know damn well they don't.
Like, you weren't a follower from day one.
You weren't a follower. But it's a funny running gag that they do. And I love that it's like it one of cute. The most liked ones. Yeah. I find it so funny. Yeah.
Do you ever read the comments?
Oh, no, of course. Yes. Especially when it first like blew up. And that was my hobby. Because it was really entertaining. I mean, there were some, you know, negative ones here and there. But you get those all the time in any capacity anyway. So I was focusing on the good ones. And it was just nice to see how many people were able to react, you know, to it, and how many, like, just the scale of which I could observe people responding to the video, you know, in the comment section and everything, seeing people enjoy it. And I think a lot of Singaporeans were proud that, you know, that I'm from Singapore. There were debates going on in the comments about where I was from as well.
Really? Yeah.
People were claiming that I'm from Indonesia. Oh. They were like, Shazza, our Indonesian singer-songwriter. I was like, where do you get that information from? It's not true. But I didn't want to engage in any discussion. And then it started getting heated in the comments.
And you're just fighting. Like observing. Like, you're like, oh.
I was like, lol. Okay.
You know what? Just represent Southeast Asia at this point.
Like, it's all good, guys. I did come up because somebody was like, can you please clarify your nationality? Verbatim, that's what the comments said. And I was like, oh, okay. So then I was like, I'm from Singapore, guys. And people were still fighting. So it was very interesting to watch everything unfold.
Yeah.
It was a really wild ride. But I enjoyed every second of it. Yeah.
And I mean, your IG followers jumped from, I think it was like 2K to 90K in 1 week.
They're about, yeah.
That is wild.
Grateful for everyone who has stuck around, regardless of the fact that I don't post that much these days.
I love your content. It's super entertaining. I really do.
Thank you very much.
No, it's really good.
Things.
Would you say that there has been any downside to this virality?
Yeah, just mainly the pressure, I suppose, of sorts. But that's probably on me also for how I'm perceiving it and learning to perceive it and everything. More than anything, I think, for example, like when it went viral, it would have been a lot more helpful for my own music if it was a song of mine that went viral. But you know, for example, this was someone else's work and my take on it that went viral. And then from there, it was like a matter of trying to navigate it and direct people to my stuff. So yeah. I was like, hey, thank you for following me. Just so you know, I also make music.
But look at this.
Look at this. And essentially, that's exactly what I tried to do. It didn't entirely work all the time as well. So you have people following me and like the numbers go up. But whether it translates to streams is another thing.
Correct.
So that's something that I'm still trying to figure out. I think it's like just a matter of you take the wins as they come and then you figure it out as you go, right? So it's nothing for me to say. I don't think there's been anything outwardly like negative. It's just been a very interesting journey of like navigating it as I go over the past year and learning to maintain the sense of working with intention. Because I think before this, right, before everything, I like to describe it like I had like a little boat, like my own little boat that I built, you know. So I was figuring out my path. I knew where I was going and everything. And then this big wave came and like swept it a bit off course. And it took me really far ahead to where I wanted to be, like closer to where I wanted to be. But it also broke my boat in the process.
Oh, that is a great analogy.
Thank you very much.
That's wonderful.
I think I thought of it in the shower. I was like, what? How do I put this into words?
Because that's feeling, where the best thoughts come from, in the shower.
Yes. So I was like, okay, so it felt like it kind of fell apart. So as much as like it propelled me forward, it also left me with like pretty lost because I was like, oh, everything has suddenly like ramped up, you know, and I'm on a different playing field, it feels, you know, and trying to navigate that a bit more with intention and maintaining like, okay, I know where I want to go. And then now I'm like at a different area of the ocean. I'm like, what's going on? But yeah, I'm just trying to
You're in the Pacific now.
I'm like, oh, okay. We were in the Indian Ocean before. I don't know what's going on. But yes, it was it's still something that I'm figuring out every day. But it's good because it teaches me to like recalibrate and like live with more purpose and everything. Learning a lot.
It plays into this whole thing and this misconception that I hear a lot about in showbiz, which is that someone is an overnight success, you know, but you've been doing this since you were a kid. Yeah. So what was your earliest music memory?
I remember being, I think it was probably when I was like six, me and my older brother used to put on concerts for my mom and dad. So we would plan out like these like performances. I would dress up. He would be like the show coordinator and then we would like choose a song that we had seen on Disney Channel or something to perform. And then we would force our parents to sit down in the living room and then I would perform it. And then they'd be like, wow, you know, we have a star in the house. You know, I think it was very much the fact that they enabled me as much as they did that has like pushed me to continue doing this to this extent, you know, to this day. Yeah. I'm very grateful for my family's support. Like, I think that has been a huge, huge foundation to this whole journey so far. I think that's probably one of my earlier music memories. Mm. I have videos of me at like 4 singing for my family on holiday and then them clapping like they heard Celine Dion. I'm like, wow. It's really, you know, that kind of love and support that pushes somebody to like, to continue to pursue it, lah. Yeah, I think because I started writing when I was 11, right? It was a ridiculous breakup song.
Yeah, I'm like a breakup ballad at 11. I think at 11, I was just trying to keep my Tamagotchi alive at this point.
I couldn't even do that. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, I think it was very imitative in the sense that, you know, a lot of songs are love songs. Yeah. Sorry, and a lot of love songs are breakup songs. Mm-hmm. So I think growing up, I consumed a lot of music because my family, like, they were big music lovers. My parents in particular. So I was like listening to like Norah Jones, you know, like what's the Cold Cold Heart, and it's all these like, you know, like deep breakup music. And so I think I was like internalizing that and trying to like recreate what I loved, you know, listening to so much. So that's what came out of it. A ridiculous breakup song. It makes no sense actually if I go and listen to it now. And I don't know what I was thinking about. But it's cute, line. And I think when I showed it to my family and they were like, this is something amazing. And my parents were so supportive about it. I'm like, whoa, maybe I have something good here, guys. But the feeling of that, I still remember like distinctly after writing my first song and like completing it, and I like typed out the lyrics and then I put all the colors in like some like Comic Sans font and I printed it out and I put it in my new songwriting book and I brought it to school. And I remember being in English class, not paying attention whatsoever, and like just looking at like the lyrics that I wrote. It was an addictive feeling. Like, I can't even describe it any more than that. I was obsessed. Like, from the moment I did it, I was the feeling, that high that I got, I was like, this is incomparable to everything else. And and I was so excited to make my next song from there, you know? So, like, I think it's always, that rush has been something that I've been chasing ever since I started.
Since that day.
Yeah, since that day, yeah.
What would 11-year-old Shazza think of the millions of song streams that
she
you have now?
Pee her pants. I don't know how else to say it. It's when I think about it, because everything moves very quickly. And it has been moving very quickly for the past 2 years. But every time I stop to like give it a bit of thought, I'm like, oh, these are things that I dreamed of, you know, when I was younger, and I didn't think I would necessarily be able to achieve beyond like it being a dream, right? So in those moments when I think about it, I'm like, wow, okay, this is very special. Younger me would be very, very pleased. And I'm so glad that I got to do at least whatever I've managed to accomplish so far for her. You know, like beyond that, now I think I'm trying to look at it as like, what do I want to do for myself now? Like in this, as a 23-year-old, like, where do I want this to go as I continue to build my future beyond like just like the dreaming? I want to plan like, okay, how can I build my career to affect more people and to, you know, make more people feel seen with my music and everything? More intention now. Mm. But yeah, the dreams have largely been fulfilled for 11-year-old me.
It's amazing. I'm very grateful. So you are an emotionally charged singer-songwriter.
Yes.
But who is a lyricist that just blows you away?
Oh, that's a good question. I actually really enjoy Maisie Peters' music at this moment. I'm not sure if you've heard her stuff. She's Ed Sheeran's protege. And the way she writes, she's 1 year older than me.
Okay.
But she writes with like this very youthful nuance that also comes with so much wisdom, I feel. And I just really enjoy the way that she puts her perspectives into words. And I'm obsessed with words. I think it's my first love. When I was growing up, my mom, she didn't force me to read, but she highly encouraged it. And then but she did force me to look up the meaning of words that I didn't know. So like she made me keep like a jotter book. So when I was reading, like I remember I was reading The Little Princess by, what's the author's name? Frances Hodgson Burnett. I'm probably wrong, but it's that classic book, right?
Yeah.
And so a lot of the words, like I didn't really understand, but I knew the story roughly. And like, every time I couldn't find a work, she was like, dictionary, figure it out, write it down. I was like, okay, fine. And from there, I think like that made me fall in love with vocabulary. And that has been a huge cornerstone for the way that I write, you know. And so whenever I listen to music, that's what really gets me, is that clever lyricism and visual writing. Because I'm a reader. So like, you know, when I can picture a song playing out in my head and everything, that's a good song. For me, at least, yeah.
Do you know what's funny? I was hoping you were going to say Chris Martin because I'm a sneaky journalist.
Oh, you are a sneaky journalist.
Organically,
no, I love
corpus there.
Writing as well. Thank you for bringing it up. It's stuff that I feel like I'm like, that's like loads and loads beyond my pay grade because they've been doing this for so long and so well, you know. But the thing about Piggy's, Clopey's music, thank you for bringing this up, that like occurred to me when they were in Singapore recently, right, is that the reason why it has lasted as long as it has and connected with as many people as it has is because of the fact that they're just singing about life and like experiencing life to its fullest and love, you know. And the timelessness of what they write about, I think it's a testament to you know, it's a testament to that, seeing how many people continue to listen to them regardless of, you know, how times have changed and everything. And I think that I remember that inspiring me a lot because I wanted to write about the same kind of things, you know. It pushed me to want to go on that same route for like the way that I continue to build like my music and everything, because I think that's what people connect with,
for sure. Relatability.
Yeah.
But you actually met him.
I did.
What was that like? What is he like?
he's very nice, a little eccentric in like a very sweet way. Mm-hmm. Like I think when we first met him, he was very sweet. He just touched down in Singapore and he came to like meet the artists and everything to say hi. Because I think this is something that he tries to do in the different countries that he goes to, like to meet the local music scene and see like what it's like there, you know, which is more than a lot of big time artists take the time to do. So I was very moved by that. And I remember I was wearing like, I have this pair of dinosaur earrings, right? And they're like my favorite pair. I just had a feeling that Chris would like these. And he did. He was like, yes. Let me see your earrings. Then I showed that to Kida and he was like, wow, these are incredible. Then I'm like, guys, Chris Martin touched my earrings. Yeah, so that's
like,
I'm going to frame these now. No, but I have a keepsake. I do.
Wait, you frame them?
No. I wear them all the time. But I have something else that I am meaning to frame. So we actually got to show him some of our music.
Yes, your demo for all you released.
Yes,
all right.
Yes. Okay, oh my goodness, you really did your research.
Yes, I did.
So I basically got to show him like a demo for like two songs. And one of them was All You Really Need Is Love.
Yeah.
And he seemed to enjoy them both, I hope. He was very nice about it. I was the only loser that day who brought her lyrics, like a kindergarten teacher.
I love this.
Because it's like, for me, my lyrics are like a part of myself. And if I'm going to show you a song, I need you to know what I'm singing about. Like, that's why whenever I'm showing people music, I'll be like, look at my phone. The lyrics are there.
Read it, please.
And they're like, oh, okay. You know, because sometimes people don't, like, lyrics are not the first thing that they think about. But for me, it's like, that's me. That is me, you know, so I need you to look at that. Yeah. So I think I printed out my lyrics and then when it was my turn to show my songs, I was like, so here are the lyrics. Please take a look. And then like, people were looking at it and then I collected it back after. But he actually asked for a marker. He was like, can I get a marker? I'm like, what's he doing? Like, and like other people were showing their music. Then I was like, at the corner of my eye, I'm like, what's he writing? And he wrote on the lyrics.
He gave you footnotes?
Yeah, no. He just says, I wish he gave me footnotes, but
just change this part and it's going to be a hit, certified hit.
I wish he did that, but no. He was like, can I keep it? I was like, of course.
He kept
But he
them.
Didn't end up keeping it. Okay. And he wrote like, he wrote on it and he actually wrote, he was like, these are beautiful songs, Shaza. Love, Chris. So he actually, because like nobody, we were all briefed, we were like, don't ask him for autographs and pictures. Like, don't be weird, like, you know, essentially. Like, because he's there like to interact with you. And then if you're like, hey, can I have a picture? It's like, yeah. So that was really special because I think I'm the only person who walked away with like, his writing, you know, on my paper. So after he was so wordless about it. Like he wrote it and then he just like, and I was like,
it's amazing.
I kept it in my file. Then later on, like everybody was like, what he write? And I was like showing them. I was like, so yes. Yeah, it's in my room. It's the thing like with my keepsakes and everything.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so it was a very, very special experience to meet him and to get to interact with him on that level. And I think his spirit shows in the way that he carries himself. And I think observing him in person, I'm like, this is why the music works.
Mm-hmm.
Because the person is like that, you know. Yeah. And they're so dedicated to their craft and so willing to share their energy with people. So that was very, very meaningful to get to experience.
Yeah. And then he name checked at the sold out Coldplay concert. I mean, internally / externally screaming.
I was on the train when I found out, and I found out from my friend who was at the concert that night. So I went the first night, right? This was the last night. And then suddenly, like, I'm on the train going home with another friend, and then I get a text and they're like, bro, Chris Martin, say your name, bro. I was like, what? What are you talking
about? You sure?
I was like, are you sure? And she's like, I'm serious. And then she sent me a video, and I was like, oh my God. Oh my goodness. That's crazy. Like, I was like, that's really sweet that he remembered that I exist. Like, I didn't anticipate it at all. And I immediately, like, sent it to my family group chat. I was like, guys, check this
Look
out.
Look what happened.
You're not going to believe this. And then, yeah, my family was very pleased. And then I went to post about it. Like, because I was like, I need to immortalize this. Like,
for sure.
Not to, like, brag about it anyway, but, like.
No brag. Definitely brag.
No. Cool. And I think, yeah, I mean, I fail to wrap my head around it because he was such a human being. Like, you know, it didn't feel like, oh my God, I'm like talking to Chris Martin. It was like, the guy is a guy. Like, yes. it felt very down to earth, and I'm very grateful that it felt that way because I feel like I connected with his spirit all the more.
Do you know what they say? You shouldn't meet your heroes because you'll be disappointed. But it sounds like this was the absolute opposite.
It was the absolute opposite. Yeah. Wow. And I'm very grateful for that.
What an experience.
Yeah, the time that he took to even arrange all that. And he was so like concerned. He was like he was asking all of us, what's the struggle of making music? Like, I said, what's it like, you know? And everybody was like, it's hard. Like, you know, like the local music scene is... It's growing, you know, but it's also pretty small and whatnot. We were sharing our experiences. And I remember he came to sit down with us again. He was like, who can we speak to from the government? I'm like, whoa. And we were like, National Arts Council maybe. So then he arranged like a meet and everything to like learn more about what we are doing in Singapore to like, you know. So I think it was very, very sincere, like the way that he approached it. And it was just very nice to witness that. I'm like, I'm glad that somebody this big still cares, you know. It was like very restoring your faith in humanity kind of thing.
I love that.
It was very sweet. Yeah.
And I also love your latest music video with all the special needs people.
Yes.
My goodness. That was so sincere and beautiful.
Thank you.
And also it was done in one take.
It was
is
done
that
in
right?
one. Yes, it's a one take music video. Yeah. Which is like when they pitched the idea to me, I was like, oh, that sounds really cool. Can we pull it off? Is another thing. Like, because like, if you see the video, if you watch the video, we're moving around the room, right?
Yeah.
So it's not happening in one space only. So like, And people who were in one position end up in another position. So they had to like run around and stuff. And it was a very special experience. So I was working with this special needs organization called My Inspiring Journey Hub. So my MIJ Hub. And they reached out to me, I think like last year or earlier this year. I think earlier this year to discuss the possibility of like working together. And they wanted to use my song because I put the song out like earlier this year, right? So they were like, we were thinking if we could use it to promote, you know, like the organization and what we do. So I was like, of course, because I was already wanting to do like a music video for this song. And I had like a rough idea in my head. But this was like, it was a chance to take it to like the next level and really make it like a special thing that works in line with the song.
Yeah.
So I was very, very excited to make it happen. And the crew that they brought, you know, to work on it did such an amazing job with it, like with the special effects and the planning of everything. It was a very special experience. And getting to meet the kids and the clients and their families, they are such amazing individuals. And it was just so nice to be interacting with them for the video and to be able to have them there and to talk to them. And you can really feel the love that is behind the organization and like and that is in these people. And I, all the more, I was so happy that we were able to like put some level of spotlight on them with this music video.
Thank you for doing that.
No, I didn't do much. I just showed up.
No. And you can feel the love in that room. It comes across.
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
It was a very, very, very meaningful experience. One of my favorite moments from it was because they had so in the video there's a scene where there's a artist, her name is Aisha. She goes by Cat B as well. And she makes her paintings and she sells it and everything. So she was painting and she's got her two sisters next to her in the video. So her paintings were kind of like strewn about the room here and there, like this on display. And I fell in love with one of them. Like it's this beautiful like black background with a bunch of flowers that she drew. And I just loved it. And so when I met them, I was like, I love that painting. It's my favorite one. And then right before they left, they gave it to me.
Oh.
I was like, wait a minute. Like she was coming with it. And I was like, no, somebody. God, I didn't ask. Well, I can't believe I'm going to get to go home with this because I was so in love with it. And now it's hanging. Like,
girl, you are collecting mementos from everybody at this point. What are you going to take from this set? Here, I'll give you the vote.
I'm still deciding. Thank you. But yeah, it was so special. And I was like, wow. And then I came home, I almost cried. Like I teared up because I was like, I was just clutching it to my chest, like, wow, this is so special. And yeah, so now it's hanging in my doorway. So every time people come in the house, it's right there. Yeah.
I love it.
So yes.
It's a really beautiful video.
Thank you.
I'm well done on that one.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you have plans to crack the international scene? And if so, having a billboard in New York Times Square ain't a bad start.
The international thing has always been a dream of mine. I think from the beginning when I started doing this, it was never like to just keep within our borders, because I feel like one thing that we need to do more as local artists and stuff is to push and really go for it in a global, with like a global mindset, you know. I think we can really put Singaporean music on the map if we try to do that. And it's just that the opportunities haven't been far and wide for us to do that. But I think it's about a matter of like carving your own path or so. So that's what I've been trying to do. I've had these like viral moments and these global moments, like the billboard that was really, really special. That happened last August. It was my birthday month. And I was like, wow, what a birthday present. You know, so I had that experience and I had the Crash Adams thing, you know, but I think making a lasting impact and growing globally takes a lot more work.
Mm.
It's more than the sum of these moments, because it's like it happens, but I think in terms of the amount of attention that it receives, for example, the billboard, right? What I've been trying to do is make more of an impact with my music. It's more than just like, okay, so yeah, I appeared on the billboard and I'm really grateful that my music got me there. But I want to connect more with real people, like, you know, like I want people across the world to be able to hear my music and really resonate with it and want to come to watch me perform and meet me, and I want to be able to interact with them. So I'm trying to do that now. And I think where it starts is the music. And that's where I'm putting my energy at the moment, because I think I haven't been creating enough to feel like myself. So I haven't felt like myself for a while, and I think it's I need to fix that. So I'm working on that now.
Okay.
Yeah, and then hopefully I'll be able to promote the music in a way that maybe I'll get another viral moment. I don't know. We shall see, you know, but I'm not trying to do it for that. I just want to make good music and find the right audience for it. So, yeah.
Is there any international act or band that you would love to open for?
Oh, Coldplay would have been so cool. Like, you know, I really, really want that. I was like, oh God, do you think they'll ask me? And, but I'm so, the people they chose for it were incredible. Watching them perform, you know, the day that I went to watch, I think we got to see Jasmine Soko perform, and she did such a good job. And seeing the pictures from like that she posted from her point of view of it, wow, it was so beautiful and so inspiring to have a Singaporean act, you know, on that stage. So that was really special. I think, yeah, Coldplay. If Coldplay comes back, I would love to, you know, to do that. I don't know when they're coming back. When was the last time they came?
Like, I'm not sure. This? Isn't it? Quite is many it years every ago, right? Couple of years or something.
Every
like
6 years.
Oh,
6 years. I think the last time they were was like 6 years ago.
Oh wow.
So maybe when I'm 29.
You might be more ready for it.
I might be more ready for it, you know? all in good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I honestly don't have, if you ask me about these, like, okay, do you have like a dream collaboration or like a dream, like, open, who I want to open for? I don't have a specific answer because I feel like the wind will blow you where you're meant to go. So, you know, and
true.
So for me, it's like, whatever comes, I would take it and just try to make the best of it as well. Yeah. I try to keep my mind open to that. Yeah.
So you touched on the local scene before.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the challenges that you kind of face in that space, I guess?
I think it's very nice that the local music scene is very small because everybody knows each other. So if you know one person, chances are you know everybody by association.
Yeah.
And it's really nice because, yeah, it feels like a big family of sorts, you know. But also I feel that is quite, from my experience, there's been quite a stigma against local music among the Singaporean audience, like in the sense that they seem to have this mentality that if it's from Singapore, it's probably not good, the music. So you get backhanded compliments even when people like your music, like, wow, this song is so nice, I thought it was by an international artist. And I'm like, thank you, I'm very happy that you liked it. But just because it's good doesn't mean it has to be from, you know, overseas. Yeah, but I think it makes sense. I have spent a good amount of time trying to make sense of like why this is the case. And I feel like it's largely because we as a society are actually quite young, like 59.
That's
true. How old we are. Yes, right. Yes,
59. Yes, yes. Wait, like, didn't you do National
I
Day?
I did. I'm sorry. I was like, wait. But yes, 59 is,
yeah.
It's not that
No, it's
old.
Very young.
Yeah, it's very young. It is. Country, right? And
yeah.
For us to have made the strides that we have made in that amount of time, I think we had to be looking outside and taking inspiration and guidance from a lot of like external, you know, governments and like long-standing countries and stuff. So when we have cultivated this mindset of like looking outside for the standard of sorts, I think it has made more of a lasting impact in certain areas. Like even in our art scene, right, I think that is still quite prevalent. It's like, oh, you have to look beyond Singapore for that standard, and then that's the standard. And then there's that, yeah, I suppose there's that stigma where people feel like, oh, if it's not from outside, it's not necessarily going to be good. But we have made such like progress with our technology and everything where our music very much is on the same playing field, and people don't seem to, not everyone has come to like accept that or acknowledge that. So it's nice to see more people slowly like wrapping their heads around that and being more open-minded about local music, coming to shows and everything. But I think it's still something that we are sorting out bit by bit. Yeah.
So keeping things local, you do have some friends in high places. Tell us about sliding into PM Wong's DMs.
Oh my goodness, my friend, Mr. Lawrence Wong.
Your bestie.
My bestie. He's very nice. He's very nice. So Mr. PM Lawrence Wong is actually my MP as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like I live in his constituency.
Right.
Yeah. So I was like, I think when my dad was the one who showed me his Love Story guitar cover. And then he was like, you should duet with him. And I was like, stay serious. Wouldn't that be weird? And he was like, no. like the song clearly needs vocals. And I was like, okay, fine. So shout out to my dad for the idea. He's a genius. So I went to just record and then I tagged him. And I couldn't tag him on Instagram. For some reason, he has that setting blocked.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Fair enough.
I guess.
You know, just running the country all and all. Right.
But I couldn't tag him and I was like, dang, I want him to see it.
Yeah.
Right? So I ended up like, straight up DMing him. Like I sent him the video and I was like, hi, Mr. Wong. So
it's me, Shazza.
Like, it's me. I was like, so I added some vocals to your beautiful guitar cover of Love Story. Hope you like it. And I was like, P.S. I'm from your constituency. Thanks for all that you do for our neighborhood. So I really wanted him to like to see it and I really hope that he would like it. And he replied.
So
and
good.
He like commented and then like, you know, he even like shared everybody who like a bunch of people sang along with him, which was very cute, you know. And then I met him for the first time at a Mothership event. So they were doing this thing called Making Waves where they spotlight local artists. And I was one of the artists in the lineup for this second season. And in the lead up to it, they had like a session where some of us got to sit down with him and talk about the music scene because he's quite a known music aficionado, right? So that was a nice conversation, like getting to talk to him about his thoughts on the music scene in Singapore and outside also, because like he used to like study overseas and apparently he used to bask on the streets of America.
What?
Something along those lines. Yeah, please don't quote me on that if I'm wrong. But like, I'm pretty sure he was saying he had a friend. His roommate had like, he bonded with his roommate over their love for guitar. And then they would like go and bask. And that's so cute. Like,
that is a fun fact.
I hope it's not a lie. But
Shazza just made this up, by the way.
No, I'm pretty sure, I wouldn't have made this up. I'm pretty sure he said it. Because I was like, whoa, that's crazy, you know. And
that is wild.
Yeah, so it was nice to talk to him about, like, you know, the different challenges of making music both here and then, like, you know, the consistencies of like, you know, the fact. I think he was telling, because I was saying, like, I feel like there's a bit more of a challenge doing it here.
Yeah.
And he brought to my attention that, like, that it's a challenge anywhere also. You know? And I was like, I suppose you're right. Yeah.
That's so true.
It was a good conversation and he was very pleasant to speak to. Yeah. I've met him a couple of times since then, like, at events and stuff. And it's always nice. He always makes time to say hi to me. And then we take a selfie.
I guess, like, a budding friendship with the PM probably wasn't on your 2024 bingo card.
It really wasn't. But a lot of things that have happened have not been on my bingo card. So it's been a crazy year.
But I know a big dream of yours is to perform the National Day song.
Oh.
But I mean, like, can't you just set up a WhatsApp group with the PM,
my best friend?
Yeah, with your bestie and be like, National Day 2025. People speak to your people, you know? Like,
I just make the chat and be like, hey bestie, make this happen.
Yeah.
Let's make this work. I'm kidding. No, please. He's very, very he's busy. So I would never impede on his time and space like that. But I have not shut up about my dream to do this, right? Every mic that gets, you know, I get given, I'm like, my dream is to write the National Day song. And
FYI, just reminding you.
Just in case you haven't heard, my ultimate dream. So people know, I think they know. And I have a demo for it. Like, I've already, like, me and my friend wrote a song, like, that we were hoping to just, like, hey, we
slided
wrote
in
this. You know, because they other than the National Day song, they've got like other side songs each year or so, right? So maybe this thing that we wrote could be used for that. You know, if it's not the official National Day song yet, I would love to do one of the side songs. It's just something that I am working towards. I want to earn that honor, you know. And as a songwriter, it's like, I want to do what I love for my nation, you know. And I think that's the ultimate, of sorts. So yes.
Yeah, the ultimate honor, I guess.
Yes, yes. As a songwriter of sorts, yeah.
And you performed in Tamil this year.
Oh my goodness, I did.
Yeah,
yes.
How is that?
So I'm Indian Muslim, right? And I think it's this was very special to me because I don't get to showcase that side of my heritage that often. You know, I have never performed live in Tamil. And even when I do sing in Tamil at home, it's usually not good because I'm not a native speaker, right? But my dad coached me on this one because he speaks it very fluently and everything. So this song that I got to perform is a beloved like Tamil classic, right? And so he was like, yeah, you gotta nail this because if you don't, the public is gonna revolt. So like, I was like, okay. So he sat me down and we were like going through the pronunciation, you know. And then when I went to record also, like, because I'm not sure if a lot of people know this, but some of the songs are recorded for National Day. It's not all live.
That makes a lot of sense,
yes,
honestly.
But a lot of people don't know.
Yeah.
So every time I tell them, if I feel like I'm telling somebody Santa Claus isn't real.
Yeah.
And then they're like, it's not live. I'm like, I hate to break it to you.
Like, I need to call my therapist.
Yeah. But you know, I mean, because, I mean, this year they had so much dancing also.
Mm.
So you get one or the other, okay? You it's get showmanship. True. Or shaky vocal.
What do you want?
Yeah, you know. So I was like, yeah, it's okay. We made it work. And so when I went to record for the Tamil song, my dad came down with me and he was there. So like to make sure that like
he's got the headphones on.
He literally did. There is a video of him like, you know. And then every time I messed up, he'd be like, that wasn't good.
Rewind.
Go
rewind.
Again. And I'm like, okay. So I had like Bang Wenfu in the room there. He was also directing me, and then my dad also. So
yeah,
that was really special.
That's brilliant.
It was very meaningful. Like, and the response, I was so happy that people seemed to enjoy it, and they were like, she sounds great. Like they said, I pronounced everything well. I was like, thank God. Because if I didn't, oh my God. So that was really, really special. Yeah.
You rose to the occasion. Amazing.
I was like, no, I asked to do it because like, when the opportunity came up and they mentioned they were going to do this song, and it's actually a duet. So it was initially going to be sung by Abby Shankar and Lee. And I was like, it's a duet. So could I do it with him? And then I just thought it would be a very nice like thing to do. And I felt like, to me, it was important also because I wanted to bring light to the fact that, you know, I felt like it was a good opportunity to educate people as well. Mm. Because I think sometimes people assume, like because of my hijab, they assume that I'm Malay speaking only, you know. Or like it doesn't come through that I'm, my race is that I'm Indian, you know, by race. So I thought it was a good opportunity to start more conversations about that, you know, to open people's eyes to that concept, you know. And I'm glad that I got to do that. Yeah.
Incredible. Your headlining show at the Esplanade, performing live, I could imagine having people singing your lyrics back to you, especially such a wordsmith such as yourself. That must feel so good.
That was the best night of my life to date. Yeah. Not much has topped it, even with everything that's happened this year. It's been a good year, but that was something else. I think I felt so safe in that space, like, you know, knowing that these are people who know me, and I mean they paid to come and watch me for the first time, you know. This was an audience that paid to come and watch the show, so I really wanted to give them a good show. And it was such a magical night of like just performing all these pieces of my heart, you know, to such a open audience who was singing it back to me. And that was, if I never get to experience that again, that's enough. Like I can go in peace. Like if I die tomorrow, I'm God forbid, but like, you know, if I, you know, that was such a good experience, and I'm so grateful for that audience that was there. And then I got to do a meet and greet after that, and I didn't know we were going to do this. My team organized this, so they were like, you need to go outside for the meet and greet. I was like, what meet and greet? And I was like, wow, there's a meet and greet, that's crazy. And then there was a table and there was a queue of people, and I was like, why are y'all here? Like, honestly, go home. But they're so sweet that you know you're here, and everybody was so sweet, and getting to meet all these people. And like, I think one of my favorite comments was, because I'm like a clown, right? If you can't tell, humor is a coping mechanism of mine. So whenever I was like nervous, I was like just yapping nonsense. And then somebody was like,
I didn't know if I was at a concert or a stand-up comedy show.
And I was like, I love you. Honestly, thank you so much. That's so reassuring. But yeah, that was really the best night of my life. Yeah.
And your debut album, Chapter One.
Yes.
What do you hope to be singing about in Chapter Five?
Oh, that's a big jump when I'm still figuring out Chapter Two. Well, I guess, okay. I don't know about chapter. I really don't know. If you ask me, like, you know, whenever people ask me, oh, what's your 5-year plan? I have no plan. Yeah. I'm literally taking it day by day. Like, at this
she's
point.
Still in the boat, everyone.
She's still in the boat.
It's a bit broken.
She's
but
still building the boat back, yeah. You know. So let's not talk about the 5-year plan. But like, for example, for chapter 2, I think what I'm learning is I need my music as much as it needs me. Oh. As much as I should have figured that out a lot earlier for someone who's been writing for like 12 years now. I realize it's for this next body of work that I'm working on, it's very close to my chest because I think it's teaching me a lot and I'm using it to get past a lot of this self-doubt that has grown, you know, in me and everything and all the negative feelings that I'm trying to overcome and all the pressure. I think this album is my way of getting through that. And I think there's a deep comfort in realizing that I don't have to say anything like finite with what I'm like putting out, in the sense that I don't have to be like, so this is the message. It's more like about the journey, I think, this album for me. So that's where I'm at now, is writing about the process of working through these things and overcoming this, what feels to be a big obstacle, but I think it's my way of getting to the next version of myself that I need to be.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to hear it.
Thank you. Me too. I'm not done yet.
You're like, me too.
I'm like, same. Yeah. But yes, I'm really looking forward to making it and sharing it with people. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Well, we're at the next juncture of this interview.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, is it possible to see the last photo in your camera roll, and can you describe it to us?
Oh my goodness, what is it? Where's my phone? Okay, let's see.
It's camera roll roulette.
Camera roll roulette is adorable. Okay, hold on, let me see. Oh my god! No! What have I done? It's a screenshot.
Okay,
it's a screenshot of some stupid So it's from my Instagram. Mm-hmm. I think instead of saving it, I screenshot it because it resonated with me that much, apparently. Okay. It says, bro, stop being sweet to me. I will literally write about you. I will describe you. I will compare you to pretty things. Don't tempt me, dude. What the heck is that about? Why did I... Okay, I think I'm going through something right now, clearly.
Yes.
I was like, I saw this and I was like... Me! I screenshot it because I'm like, wow, this like really captures the pain of being an artist and then feeling a lot of things. So that's why I screenshot it.
Love
it. Was that very exciting for you?
Yes, thank you for sharing. It's very different to our last one.
Another, the previous picture was like a real picture, not a screenshot, is this is me shooting for Ralph Lauren.
You look adorable.
Thank you very much.
In your...
I've yet to post it. So that was a sneaky exclusive.
Sneak peek for Vogue.
Sneak peek for Vogue.
You saw it here first. Yes. On Vogue.
Yeah, Vogue, yeah.
Okay, we are now at the Vogue Uncut quickfire questions, as the name would suggest.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, okay.
Very fast.
All right.
On both sides.
All right.
Favorite music video of all time?
Paparazzi by Lady Gaga. I'm not going to lie. That's okay. A really good one.
Fair.
Yes. Fair. Thank you.
What's your favorite song to cover?
Oh, it changes a lot. Okay, this is supposed to be fast, right? Okay. Oh my goodness. Vincent by Don McLean. Starry, Starry Night.
Who is your go-to modest fashion designer?
Oh, I don't know. Oh my goodness. I should go and learn up about them. I'm so sorry. I don't know anybody by name.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah. But can I mention like my favorite modest fashion inspo?
Yeah.
The one that means a lot to me is Halima Aden. Oh. Who was like, she was, I first discovered her on the cover of Vogue Arabia.
Yeah.
And shout out Vogue. And I was like,
always a time to plug Vogue.
Yeah. But that was really special because I remember when I saw her for the first time, I was like, oh my God, like suddenly my dreams felt more achievable.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Yuna.
No, Yuna, Yuna as well.
Is incredible.
Yes.
Love her.
Why didn't I say Yuna? Yuna and Halima Aden, yes.
We've covered all bases.
Yes, yeah.
What song always gets stuck in your head?
Always gets stuck in my head. Always gets stuck in my head. Bulletproof by LaRue.
That is a very stickable song.
It's very old as well.
Yes.
Actually. Yeah. But this song played a huge part in my childhood. as weird as it sounds, like my younger brother was obsessed with it. So it was playing a lot and it still gets stuck in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair.
Thank you.
Okay, if you could be mentored by any musician alive or dead, who would it be?
Dolly Parton. Oh my God, wait. Dolly Parton or the whole of ABBA?
Love.
Yeah, yeah. ABBA was such a big part of my upbringing as well because my mom had like the ABBA Gold, you know, series. So yeah, I love their music. Yeah.
Well, Shaza, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining me. This was so fun.
I know. I'll catch you again for
yes, please.
Chapter 2.
Okay.
Chapter 3, chapter
yes.
4.
Oh, yes, let's hope. It's not going to be called chapter 2, by the way.
Isn't it?
It's the working title, but it's going to be called something else.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well,
I'll let you know when it's up.
I'll keep my eyes and ears peeled.
Thank you. This is so fun, honestly. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, guys.